Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Drivers are becoming more concerned about the dangers of other motorists dazzling them with their headlights, which could potentially spark a rise in accidents on the road. That's according to a new report from the RAC driving body in the UK. 85% of respondents to a survey there said they had been partially blinded by the glare of bright headlights, and they believe that the problem is becoming worse. Car headlamps have increased in brightness consistently for decades, resulting in these high-intensity LEDs and high-power laser lights of today. But are they creating a hazard on our roads? Well, I'm joined in the studio by motoring journalist Geraldine Herbert, and on the line by Martina Callanan, who's deputy chair of the Galway Cycling Campaign, and cyclist Louise Williams. You're all welcome. But Geraldine, I'm going to start with you. How big a problem is this? Because since I mentioned we were going to be talking about this morning, people have been texting in their droves saying it's an issue for them on the roads.
Yeah, it seems to be far more an issue than we're actually acknowledging. Now, the RAC have consistently spoke about this for the last number of years, and their stats are actually very interesting. And one of the things that I would find very concerning is they found that 25% of drivers over 65 actually won't drive at night because of it. Now, we would have a very similar mix of the kind of cars that they would have on our roads. So I would doubt that it isn't a big issue here as well. Interestingly, though, I got in touch with the Road Safety Authority to see if there was any figures on it here. There hasn't been any surveys and there aren't any figures, but that's not to say it's not an issue, because the minute you start tweeting about it or talking about it, everybody has an opinion. So definitely there's something there.
And what do people say to you then when they get in touch? Is it the bigger vehicles, the ones that are higher off the ground, the SUVs? Because those lights, if you're driving a smaller car, they tend to hit you where it hurts.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of two things. We had a situation where LED lights were quite expensive. Now they've become cheaper, so they're filtering into all sorts of cars. So there's more of them on the road, and they emit this sort of blue light, which apparently is much harsher on the eye than the yellow light from the halogen lights of old, the sort of bog standard lights we used to have. The other problem is obviously not only SUVs, but all our cars are getting higher up, and the higher up they go, the more that beam has changed, and that beam tends to just dazzle us more. So I think that is the problem. But definitely it's funny that it was a timely piece that we're doing here today, because about 2 weeks ago I had a BMW, and the entire week I had it, I was flashed by other car drivers the whole time who thought I had my full headlights on, and I didn't. I had my dim lights, but that'll just show you how powerful they were. They were being viewed as full lights to other people.
Okay, but this is all regulated. You know, the car manufacturers are adhering to what they should in terms of the regulations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason, and I mean, every part of a car is tightly regulated by type approval in the EU, and you can't veer from that, and that they're very constrained by that. But I think what we're seeing more than anything is they're being used because they give better light for the person behind the wheel. And we see a huge amount of safety being basically concerned with the person behind the wheel rather than the other people in other cars or pedestrians or cyclists. So I think we need to move away from only viewing safety in terms of the person behind the wheel.
I notice if you meet somebody who's coming over a speed bump, sometimes that can be quite difficult, and you'll have to look to, isn't the rule or the guidance to look to your left margin to avoid that glare?
Just take your eye away from that glare, because it can literally blind you for a split second. And we know the whole reason why mobile phones are so dangerous when you're texting or whatever is you're taking your eyes off the road. So anything that forces you not to be able to see the road or forces you to look away from the road is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get the cyclist's view now, because Louise, I know you spent the weekend cycling around the Burren and you had a fairly frightening experience. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I got into Gord Station. So I got the train down from Dublin with my electric bike, right? And I left Gord Station at about 6:30 on Friday. And I found immediately that just the outskirts of Gord, I was going about 6 kilometres towards Kilmacdua Abbey. That's where I was staying. And immediately, for the first section leaving Gort, it was well lit. And then the street lighting stopped. So when I'm lit up like a Christmas tree, and I have an electric bike, so I have quite a good headlight at the front. But having said that, it was a pitch dark night, and there's very little that I could pick up on the road that would guide me. Now, this is before there were any cars. There's occasional stripes of white lines that could guide me, but it's a very stripped out landscape. It's slightly horror movie like. It was kind of terrifying and a little bit exciting. Until then, a car arrives coming towards me, and you know, I've gone from barely being able to see anything to being completely sort of overexposed almost, you could say, by this car, but I can't see anything. I know that everything around me is being exposed, but I can't look to the left, as Geraldine was describing, and yourself, because there's no way of getting kind of any perspective. I'm a little bit higher up than a driver would be, because I'm on my bike, and I'm on a Dutch bike, so I'm sitting up straight. So I'm completely blinded in that moment. I kept on cycling, because it felt like that was the only thing I could do, and slow down. But it's kind of, you're going from extremely dark environment to this environment where you cannot see a thing, and it's that contrast, it's suddenness of it, and it felt absolutely hazardous and terrifying.
And do you think that the driver that you were meeting, do you think they had their full beam on?
Yes. Okay. I know they did, because then they dipped them, and then I could navigate again. So it's the contrast, I think, Claire, that you're going from barely able to see anything to suddenly you still can't see anything, but except for the car light. You know, you really are the rabbit in the headlights. You're kind of you're caught in those headlights, and there's it must be maybe something to do with the fact that I don't have a windscreen, perhaps, like a pedestrian and all the cyclists who'd be out on the roads at night. But I can't see anything at all, and it's extremely dangerous, especially because, you know, on some of those roads would be very small, and as it is, the turlocks are high. There was a lot of flooding on the roads. You know, the hazards are piled up already on those roads in the burn.
Does that make a difference, Geraldine? You know, if you're behind a windscreen, are you more likely to be able to avoid the glare?
Yeah, well, there's various different things in the car. You can dim your rear view mirror as well if it's coming from behind. If your windscreen is clean, it makes a difference. It kind of blocks that glare, the cleaner it is inside and outside. You can also get nice glasses, you know, you can talk to. So there's various different things that just aren't really viable for pedestrians and cyclists. And again, I think we see with technology, automatic dimming headlights, they just don't see pedestrians and cyclists again. So they're being exposed for much longer with these full beams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of technology that's out there that could be tuned better for all road users and not just, as I said, the person behind the wheel.
Okay, well, Martina, who's with us as well, has experience, Martina, I know, of the dazzling headlights, both as a cyclist and also as a driver.
Absolutely, yeah. So I walk, cycle, I have an e-bike too, like Louise, and I share a hatchback with my husband. And so I unfortunately had an unpleasant experience in County Clare as well. A couple of years ago, it was a winter's evening. I was a long journey, about 2.5 hours I'd planned for my journey. It took loads of time. And the journey took me a lot longer, probably 45 minutes longer, because the weather conditions were appalling. It was dark. It was evening time. It was very wet and it was very windy. And so I slowed down to adjust to drive to conditions. But also I was incredibly dazzled and blinded by not only oncoming vehicles, but also vehicles coming from behind me. And yes, like Geraldine suggested there, I had, you know, clean windows, and I adjusted my rear view mirror. But because I think that I had adjusted my behaviour to meet the conditions and slow down, other people driving got incredibly frustrated, were tailgating me, were so close to me that I couldn't read the registration plates, and were making dangerous overpasses. And I'm inside a car. I'm in a hatchback, so I'm lower than a lot of, obviously, commercial vehicles and SUVs on the road. And it was an incredibly frightening, unpleasant experience. And instead of arriving an hour ahead of time and having time to check in and relax and change my clothes before meeting my friends for dinner, I was like late for dinner, and I just sat down with my friends and burst into tears because it was just so horrible. So as well as as Geraldine has outlined, there's so much technology has been focused on the safety and the comfort and convenience of drivers like me, bigger, higher, heavier cars, faster acceleration, entertainment systems, hermetically sealed against the outside conditions and the unpleasantness of wind and rain, effectively mobile sitting rooms. But these massive personal and family vehicles are causing multiple dangers for people beyond the windscreen, outside the car, for people walking and cycling, as well as, you know, fellow drivers like my good self.
And did that put you off then driving at night?
Yes. Yeah. I came home and I was like, I do not want to drive at night if I don't have to. I definitely don't want to drive at night on rural roads that I'm unfamiliar with. My husband is from a farm. So when we go and visit his family, there's those discussion as to who's going to drive. Not only just there, but who back, who gets to enjoy a glass of wine at dinner. And I'm pregnant now, so I'm not having wine at dinner. But I was still, for me to drive, drive home after visiting the farm, I'm checking the weather. How wet will it be? Will it be icy? What's the time of what time of night is it? Like, how much traffic will there be on road? And I'll make the decision. But generally now, I ask my husband to drive, I ask my friends to drive and take a lift with them.
I didn't realise, Geraldine, that we have these automatic strong lights, you know, full beam lights. But I just see listeners getting in touch here. Mary saying, please ask all drivers when driving in the countryside to manually dim their lights when driving. A slight bump in the road turns on their full lights. Is that the case? Can you imagine that's the case?
Well, no, I think that's just because when you go over a bump, it pushes the beam higher, and that's what it looks like. Yeah. But you do have to be conscious as a driver at all times of the other people on the road, you know, pedestrians, cyclists and other drivers.
Yeah. But Mary felt as though the car behind her, which was travelling at 40 miles an hour, was constantly flashing the lights at her. But it wasn't, you're saying. It was just going over the bump.
It could have been just an uneven surface, that would do that.
But how does it work then, that the cars that have the automatic full beam, is that on automatically all the time unless they meet something? Is that how they work?
Yeah, essentially how they work is they dim the lights and they have the full light on. So basically it'll override you. So as soon as it sees a light, it will interpret that as a car and it will dim it. The problem is they vary from car to car. Some of them work quite effectively. None of them work perfectly, but some of them are really, really slow. So they'll wait until a car is nearly on top of you before they'll actually dim the lights. Others respond to street lights. Others respond to parked cars. So I have yet to find an automatic dimming light system that actually works effectively. And I normally just switch them off and just use the
right,
do it myself.
Even if you're driving on a motorway and someone, you know, there could be three lanes away from you coming in the other direction. If they've their full beam on, it can be really blinding.
Mm. But I mean, you don't need full beams in places like that where you have proper lights. You really should be using them where there's no cars. So it shouldn't be. But of course, on a country road, you're going to meet other cars. But definitely, as I said, the automatic lights don't work as effectively as they should.
So in terms, Louise, of cycling in the dark now, is that something you try to avoid or are you still comfortable doing it?
No, I mean, I really came close to serious accidents on Friday night. Like, it really was very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, you know, so I spent the weekend in the burn and I made sure that I was where I needed to be and not cycling out once it got dark. Generally, you know, I live in a city, so it doesn't put me off. But, you know, I want to acknowledge that, like, burn drivers were really good. They dimmed their headlights the minute they spotted me. But, I mean, I think it's kind of, we're designing to make it a hostile environment for cyclists and pedestrians on country roads that are unlit. And the more we design that way, the fewer people are going to dare to go out and cycle and walk. And you are creating this kind of environment where it just becomes only safe for, you know, large cars with perhaps these LED beams that we're talking about. So, like, I was put off in the burn. Like, but that was partly also to do with road flooding. It was partly to do with the cloud coverage. The moon was low, you know.
Yeah, it was just a bad situation, all of these things coming together. We're getting huge reaction to this, so it's clearly a problem for lots of people. Geraldine, thank you very much for coming in. Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Martina Callanan, we also spoke to, and Louise Williams there as well. Thank you very much.